we're exploring, why we love it, why it makes our feet tap, how good it is for us. And when we don't even know it's playing, how music influences us. Maybe when we're buying stuff, when we're in the mall, when we're watching movies, how it affects our mood. There's lots to discuss today. And joining me round the table, it's a real pleasure to welcome back to the show Adam Griffin, Head of Occupational Therapy at Autism Rocks Support Centre. Hello to you, Adam.
Hello, that's very nice to be back.
It's good to have you here, and I know you're into your music. You had a bit of an emotional weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, you guys really don't think you know the effect. Asking me to pick three songs, I was like an emotional roller coaster all weekend. I was 14 years old again, and oh my goodness.
And we're asking you the same, of course. Send through that piece of music that means something to you, whatever it may be. Also joining me today, Anissa Barmel, who's a UK-trained music therapist. She's based as part of the support team at Regent School. It's a pleasure to have you here, Anissa.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to see you. We've also got your music, your selections as well, the
yes.
music that's made an impact on you. So we're looking forward to hearing that. And, you know, it gives us an insight into the person, the choice of music. It gives us an insight into what you were into when you were younger or what you're into now. But also it's an emotional journey, like Adam says, it can be.
It really was. And I only made up my mind this morning, very last minute. So I had to do some real thinking over the weekend.
And I really had to drag them out of her. I think you must have written about 10 drafts before you sent that one to me.
Definitely.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing those. You're asking me, I'm about to go to Glastonbury for my 19th year coming up in June, you know, that sort of daddy of festivals, performing arts festival that it is in the UK. And it truly is the festival season in Europe coming up through the summer months. And when you look at festivals across the globe, how it brings people together and how music can unite and divide. So when you were young, what were you into? Were you a certain type of muso?
Oh, 100%. That whole thing of music at uniting or dividing, that was me to a T, because there was only two types of music for me, which was heavy metal and everything else, which didn't matter. In fact, I would judge people. I was one of those kids, I would judge you if you liked these dance bands. Bearing the fact I was the only person in my school that thought this way, it was probably not a good idea, but I was very, believed it strongly at that time.
Excellent.
You wouldn't have liked me when I was a child then. I was really into the boy bands and the dance groups as well, so...
Excellent.
We would have clashed when we were younger.
Did you get to see one? Did you go? Were you a groupie?
You know what? I was a big Take That person, and I was a big, well, when I was a bit older, Craig David. So I did get to see them live. I was very happy. I was a happy bunny.
Fantastic. It brings a lot of joy, a lot of pleasure, music. And then there are people that really aren't interested, don't actually listen to music at all. And so we're going to be exploring those personalities as well. So let me know your thoughts. 4001, that special piece of music for you, what is it? Let me know on that number. You asked me for the highlights of Glastonbury over 20 years. That was quite tough for me, but you know what? It's got to be on the top of my list. Seeing David Bowie. Seeing David Bowie was incredible. It was in a beautiful summer's evening on a Sunday night, going back quite a few years now, and I had my friend bought a little step, because I always struggle at concerts because I'm quite short, and we got there really early at the Pyramid Stage. We knew he would be there headlining, and lots of acts to watch beforehand. And it, again, it's that tribal thing, lots of people, lots of fans of David Bowie gathering for that gig, but also young and old, which is what a festival does. It brings together all different people, it unites them. And I was really near the front, and I was standing on the step, and the wind, the breeze blowing through my hair, and he came on stage. Absolutely awesome. So that's a memory for me, but I was a big fan anyway. Sometimes it's music that just gets you. Adam, your first piece of music, your choice today.
Yeah, so this was, like I said, I was a kind of a bit of a sullen, angry young man. No one believes me when I tell people what I was like when I was a teenager. Really long hair, super shy, cripplingly shy, wouldn't talk to anyone. But this song was one that it's kind of angry, but in a really joyous way. And it was showed me that even though I felt weird and nothing made sense, that was okay. That's kind of the way you're meant to be as a teenager. And it's appropriately called Basket Case by the amazing guys Green Day.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid?
Here comes along with the strength to carry on, and you cast your fears aside, and you know you can't survive.
My guest today, Adam Griffin, Head of Occupational Therapy at Autism Rock Support Centre, and Anissa Barmel, who is a music therapist. She's based at Regent School here. And that's number one on your list today, Anissa. Yes. So why Mariah there?
Well, I grew up on Mariah, absolutely adored her as a child, but I think that song has a lot of meanings in it for myself. I see my parents as heroes, raising me and my brother. My brother's got quite severe disabilities, and I think that's motivated me to where I am today. So I kind of see that as a very hero theme in my life, and just looking back at the years that my brother's kind of been my hero in my eyes, very motivational for me to do what I'm doing, but also be the person I am today.
So tell me about music therapy then. What is it?
Okay, so music therapy in a nutshell, which is quite hard to do, it's working with a variety of people who might have communication difficulties, social interaction issues. So it can range with working from children to the elderly, children with autism, children with any disabilities, the elderly with dementia. And it's basically an input and a way of using communication through music, particularly for those who are non-verbal, those that have got some emotional issues. They can use music to communicate those across, and using very live improvisational techniques. So rather than it be a very set criteria to a session, it would be quite a free flow, follow the patient, follow the client type of session. So wherever they want to go with the music, that's where we'd go. But in some cases, they might bring a piece of music that they want to play, or they might want to copy, and you just go with it and you do that with them.
And so you're saying your brother inspired you. So tell me how that happened.
Well, my brother had music therapy when he was in his late teens, and it carried on for a while. And it became a really helpful input for him because he's nonverbal himself. So he doesn't use any words. He suffers quite severely from cerebral palsy. And also he doesn't really walk either. He's wheelchair bound, or he likes to shuffle around on the floor. So making things accessible for him, being able to explore things with his hands, using fine motor skills, shaking instruments, banging instruments with beaters, but also using his voice far more than he ever did before. So because he's nonverbal, he was able to vocalize, use his voice in more expressive ways, make his needs known to us, whether that be, you know, wanting to eat, wanting to sleep, something like that. So making a lot more eye contact as well, because it's just it's all very relationship based. So you are developing a relationship with someone close, which can then have an impact on how he is with other people.
How do you bring music into your workplace, Adam?
Yeah, it's something occupational therapists do as well, sort of intuitively. And he's much better trained than I to kind of work in this area. But OTs, we use it a lot because in the similar way I would use play therapy, where I'm trying to engage a child in a task, I love it because it's something that's entirely failure-free. It's just an extra tool that OTs use, and the child's not subjected to it. They really enjoy it, and they can maybe a little bit of hesitation. For a lot of my boys and girls on the autism spectrum, sounds can be kind of jarring sometimes, and they get overwhelmed very easily. So it's a way to make it accessible and fun, and there's a little bit of a cause and effect. And like the play therapy, or like the a lot of the sensory work, it establishes this dialogue. So it's a back and forth then between myself and the child. So it's just another string to our bow. And then, but I love working alongside music therapists as well, because there's so much that can be done. It lends itself so well to other treatment modalities also.
I suppose one might wonder the true value if they're having regular therapy and physiotherapy and maybe cognitive therapy. Really, how is music making a difference other than it being social and fun?
Well, I mean, I think the play side, again, that Adam touched upon is really important, particularly with the youngsters. But actually, the fun element might play a very important role. So I've worked previously in palliative care with young children, and having that element of play when they have been isolated due to having chemotherapy is vital for their development in general, whether it be their, even for their well-being of their parents, to see them having fun again. It's a very important point.
Yeah, and one of the beautiful things about it as well is that in the similar way to play therapy, there's no real way to do it wrong. It's just a really, really nice thing to see. A lot of the time when parents are, especially when I work along with doctors and GPs, they sometimes don't notice the value because it's not immediately obvious. For example, like play therapy looks like you're just playing on the floor with a child. You're not like just keeping them entertained and doing that. Same with music therapy. You're not just buying them pots and pans and beers and rattlers. You've got, the therapist has a very specific, well worked out goal. It just may not be super obvious to the untrained eye.
So it's a great tool for therapy. For people generally, and you know, we love our music, most people do, some people don't, and that's, we're going to explore that as well. What's happening, do you think, inside us? What's happening to the brain? What's happening to us physically when we engage with a piece of music?
I think it just, your body just takes over. I think when you're listening to a piece of music, whether it's powerful in a sense that's positive for you or for negative for you, it will raise certain feelings in your body. So, for example, heart rate. Heart rate will have a direct impact on how your emotions are and how you're feeling in that moment. Also, in your brain, I guess it'll take you back. So you might hear a piece of music that reminds you of an old memory. And we were discussing earlier, Adam, that it takes you right back there. You're in that moment. You're experiencing it all over again. So the power that the music has on the brain can be significant, particularly if we're working in dementia where memory loss is such a big thing.
Well, many people texting in with the pieces of music that mean something special to them. Keep them coming in on 4001. One here from one of our listeners saying, "Ode to Joy is a piece of music that lifted my spirit when I was pregnant. In fact, music helped me during my labour and aided in the smooth and quick delivery of my baby." So that, again, you know, how we can connect with music on lots of different levels.
Yeah, it's... That's a perfect example. When something as stressful as that, and it can, like, it's hard to emotionally self-regulate in such a trying moment of your life, but something like music can provide an emotional through line. Mm-hmm. When we talked, you mentioned before about what's happening in the brain. If you see, you can look at YouTube videos of someone listening to music in an fMRI, so you can see the activity in the brain, and it's like cerebral fireworks going on. Everything from the frontal lobes to the hippocampus for memory to the sense receptors in the midbrain, it's all going off. It'd be hard to pinpoint one thing because it's so involved.
Well, this is for you, Therese, texting in about this beautiful piece of music that helped you through labour, Ode to Joy. Ode to Joy by Beethoven, a beautiful piece of music, which I think many of us are aware of, are familiar with that piece of music. It must be chosen a lot, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, there's been many times I've used it in education as well for keyboard skills, getting those kids to be able to play something that's a bit more classical, but also that's going to motivate them. And actually, it was there was a popular version on Sister Act, the second film,
yes,
by Lauryn Hill, who nailed that version. She did a brilliant version of it in a gospel way.
So do you play an instrument?
I play the piano, yes. I'm a pianist and a vocalist.
Wow, okay. So what age did you start?
Oh, I started the piano when I was 7, but I started singing when I was about 4 because I was in a dance school at the time. So it was all very much performing arts. So singing has been, I've been doing it for a very long time, and piano, yeah, it's kind of taken over my life, music.
So you couldn't imagine a world, a life without music?
Absolutely not, no. I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine going to work every day and not having the radio on in the background and having music to get me through that journey, particularly on a long journey. And, you know, when you're feeling low and when you're not feeling in the best of mindsets, you kind of put a piece of music on. Or for me, I prefer to play. If I'm not feeling right, I prefer to sing something or play something. It's my own therapy, if you like.
Well, we've got an article here looking at some news stories, how music affects our moods. And according to new research, it shows that even sad music can lift your mood, while other studies suggest music can boost happiness and reduce anxiety. I think we kind of knew that. I didn't know if we realised that sad music could boost us. I mean, melancholy, feeling blue, listening to sad music. But actually, maybe it does make you feel good in a way.
It's... Yeah, I think it's kind of the foundation for a whole brand of music. It's where the blues comes from. And not only that, if you try and find a country and western song that is not cripplingly depressing almost, then good luck with that. But it's, I guess, the idea that it's giving you solidarity with someone else. You're not the only person feeling like this. There's an absolutely beautiful quote by Tom Waits that I really like. And he says, "I like beautiful melodies telling me terrible things."
Oh, now I saw Tom Waits. I've seen him in concert. Yeah.
You've seen everyone.
I know. Well, I mean, yeah, I have to say, I'd forgotten, and now you brought it all back to me. Yes, I saw him in London many moons ago.
Wow.
Had an older brother who was able to take me to see Tom Waits, amazing artist, and he is absolutely all about the sad song from the heart, but amazing, and you just love
absolutely. It gives you something to relate to, you know, when you're going through those negative experiences.
Yeah, and I guess when I work with lots of teenage boys, actually, on that note, a lot of the parents worry about what they listen to. For example, I have a few boys who are big into like Slipknot and Metallica. And when I was a kid, I remember having a time where I was into Nick Cave, very dark fellow. But it's even though it's not what you're hearing, it's what the person themselves is feeling when they listen to it. It can give them some sense of joy, even singing about the darkest things.
So many of you texting in. When we come back, we'll share your messages. One here from Harsh saying, "Listening to the best of Santana during my Royal Enfield road trip to the Himalayas. Bliss."
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
We are talking about music today, listening, enjoying it, and sharing the joy, I hope. And guests at table today, and one of which who selected this song, A Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash, is singing every single word and singing along there. That's Adam Griffin, Head of Occupational Therapy at Autism Rock Support Centre. Great to have you here, and a great selection of tunes, Adam.
Well, thank you. I was not doing anything of the sort. I'm not so uncool as to do that. I definitely didn't have my eyes closed when I was singing along with it.
We'll find out why you've selected this piece of music in a moment, alongside Anissa Barmel, who is a music therapist, UK trained. She's working as part of the support team at Regent School, doing a fine job using music in therapy. And yeah, so Adam, tell me, why this choice?
Yeah, for me, this one is one of those examples where I can't listen to that and not think of like a relationship with another person. For me, this is very much me and my dad. So this was one of his favorite songs. There's a bunch of country and western songs I could have picked. This was very formative for me, kind of affected what my opinion of kind of coolness is as well, was Johnny Cash, Man in Black, and then having sort of all the shared enjoyment with my dad and seeing how much he got out of this, and then it was something I got to share with him as well.
Give you that name and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die, and it's that name that helped to make you strong.
Well, you're not alone today, because Arima George, good morning to you, regular to the show. She's kicked off the hour saying, you know, listening to the radio here in Dubai when I was growing up with my dad driving around the UAE, Phil Blizzard. The early days of music in the UAE, I used to love that. And she sent through a whole choice of songs that she loves. So we'll be sharing some of those over the course of the show. Lots of you texting in on this. So William, the one and only, says, "Rush, Closer to the Heart." Yes, their drummer, so that means a lot. It's a good one. Rush is always a good one, I think. We've got here lots of you texting in regarding feeling, you know, how it makes you feel. Yasir says, "Music made me pass my medical school exams. I listened to an artwork by a trio called Above and Beyond, and their album is called Group Therapy." So isn't it interesting that it is about sort of tracking your life, but certain albums, certain tracks that will go directly directly alongside, like revision or a relationship you had or a journey you used to take to work and listen to a certain piece of music. It really does bullet point for you. And then when it comes to therapy, and both of you work in the field of therapy, here Mary says, my grandson has ASD. His parents are very keen to pursue music with him. He seems to have an uncanny knack in picking up tunes.
I mean, that's quite common, because in ASD, we talk about how those children will have that kind of passion for anything creative, but also something that they might be able to imitate. So if he's got a good ear for picking things up, that's quite a common trait in ASD in general, which we were discussing earlier. But also it's just a time for them to freely express, which we know that children and people with ASD might struggle with in social communication. So any use of music or any sort of exploration of music in that way would be majorly beneficial.
Where with me in the night. Come away with me and I will.
So Aruma George says, Norah Jones, Come Away With Me, one of my calm me down and daydream a while kind of songs. I love that description, that calm me down and daydream a while kind of song.
Yes, it definitely has that kind of impact on you, especially with that beautiful melodic line in the piano. It's just one of those pieces of music that does literally take you away. Words come away with me, you go away in somewhere that you feel peaceful, somewhere that you feel beautiful. And it's no surprise that that one is one of the most popular wedding songs. When I sing for weddings, any bride and groom that are choosing a song maybe to walk down the aisle to or their first dance, it's usually a song just like that. And I've been asked to sing that one several times. So it's a beautiful piece.
Adam, what was your wedding song?
It was Moon River.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of slightly cliche, but I don't care.
No, it's beautiful.
I love it. And still, when I think of that song, it's, absolutely.
Yeah, no, that would be up there as one of my favourite pieces, I think, actually, Moon River. Beautiful piece. Interesting. Well, lots of you texting in. Keep your messages coming in on 4001. We'll do our best to play a little piece for you, if we can, from your particular track, that song that means something to you. Now, we shared earlier how music affects our moods, and new research showing that even sad music can lift our mood. Even sad music brings most listeners pleasure and comfort, according to recent research from Durham University in the UK. Conversely, the study found that for some people, sad music can cause negative feelings of profound grief. So I guess it's about managing that and not playing too much of the sad stuff if you're already in a vulnerable state.
Absolutely. I mean, there are times that sad music can contribute to making you feel better, but in a way it's important to confront those difficult feelings, to be able to contain them, to be able to manage those difficult feelings yourself. But it can obviously have a very negative effect on you as well. So it's just about managing and making sure that, you know, whatever you're listening to, you're not going to sort of go back into a dark hole. I think just using that to express yourself and contain and manage your emotions.
Yeah, I think it can go either way, because music has one of those unique things that really has a hard line into the emotional centers of our brain. There's a really cool, I really like this, there's a Charlie Brown cartoon from Peanuts that I really like, where Charlie's listening to a song on a record player saying, this song always depresses me. It brings back such sad memories, you know what I mean? Never heard another song that depresses me the way this one does. Play it again, will you?
Yeah, we've all done it.
Yes,
let's
absolutely.
Face it. I love that. Yeah. Well, also looking at the news, and Spotify and AccuWeather team to match music, mood and monsoons. So the weather and its many faces have served as an inspiration for many musicians over the years. They may have crooned about the London fog or the sun coming out or stormy weather and the clothes you wear for a season. So now Spotify is teaming up with AccuWeather to build on that with a new service called Climatune. So playlists that are based on the weather in your location in real time and the mood that it creates. This is reminiscent of a feature that Songza, a music recommendation service acquired by Google, once created with the weather company, eventually acquired by IBM, where users could fine-tune the music Songza recommended based not only on time, date and location, but also on the weather wherever they happen to be.
It's really clever the way they do this. When I looked, because I thought, all right, so if it's sunny, they'll play like Crowded House and stuff. But not really the case. It's more like the technology it works out what everyone else is listening to, when it's snowy and when it's sunny, and pairs it with that. So it looks at the themes musically of what people tend to listen to when it's this weather, and you can tap into that. So it taps into 85 billion different streams and then has an algorithm that puts it together and matches the music and the weather. It's really fascinating. Yeah. Sort of an interesting idea to do it in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. But living here where it's sunny most of the time.
Really boring. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure it'll be that wide a range of music.
Wow, are we all listening to the same kind of music, well, I wonder?
Yeah, just be Will Smith, Summertime, on hard rotation.
But it also starts to make you realise how music, and we know it's powerful, but to really see how powerful it can be, because if you can do that, what else could you be doing through technology, through not even that, through people wanting to understand the movements? It's collecting data on people's movements, personality, choices, preferences, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it can be. And like we said, for the other aspects as well, music has this big impact on us. So you can use it, like we've seen stores, we use it. Even like if you walk into a doctor's office, they have a specific selection of music they do to put you at ease. We do it, and we would use it in clinics as well. So if you want the kids to be entertained, or even something as simple as an elevator ride, you're going to have music in the background.
Mm-hmm. I always remember, I may have shared this story before, but I lived in Brixton before I came to Dubai, and I've got a flat there. I lived there for many years, and you know, Brixton, I love it, but you know, it's had its issues over the years, and there was a lot of homeless people on the street in Brixton. You come out of the tube station in Brixton High Street, South London, and it could be quite angsty coming out of there. People with, you know, mental health issues in need, you know, a lot of behaviours you'd be experiencing walking, navigating your way through the crowds to come up the steps out of the tube station onto Brixton High Street. And you know what they did? They started playing classical music.
Oh, wow.
Classical music coming up the steps out of Brixton Tube onto the high street, and it just changed the dynamic and the mood and the way people were for each other. It's soothing. It soothed you.
Absolutely. When you're walking through that kind of environment, it can be quite anxiety provoking, and you know, you need something to put you at ease. And if classical music is the way to go, and actually not just for the everyday traveller, it could be for the homeless people that are there as well. Having them feeling at ease would put everyone else at ease as well.
Yeah, and there's a flip side of that too. So one of my passions, I like martial arts, so I do jiu-jitsu, and I would train with some guys who'd be fighters, and they work out what's going to be my fight song. What's the song I walk out to that gets me the most psyched up? So then you think, okay, that's another interesting one to consider. What will get me the most amped up? So have the other side of the emotional coin.
Oh, hang on. This is hopefully right. Yeah, that was in the system. I selected it this morning because I was watching Rocky yesterday on OSN. Have you seen the Rocky channel on OSN? You can just watch Rocky movies all day long if you want to. I just watched one, Rocky Balboa. And yeah, that piece of music, and again, we're going to look later at the power of film and using films, you know, the score for music, the soundtrack for films. But my God, that's going to be up there on one of the top 10 lists of a powerful piece of music that you recognize, you know it, and you think of the movie, right?
Yeah, cannot hear that without, if I was on my own in the studio, I'd be shadowboxing right now.
Or running up lots and lots of stairs, reach the top and feel really...
Yeah, I mean, your arms up in the air. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so lots to share with you. More to come. Music that has made an impact on you. Let us know on 4001. Akhil says, if ever I had an entrance music to life to face my fears and move ahead, you know, any problems to combat them, then it would be Angel by Massive Attack. Very energizing. We'll see if we can find that to share with everybody else who needs a bit of energy this morning, the beginning of the week.
Thank you.
So this was sent in a recommendation by Arvin. This is Gabriel's oboe from the film The Mission. And he's saying how much it relaxes him. He just loves it. So we're giving you a little snapshot of that. And often we're sort of bought, classical music is brought to us through movies. We maybe aren't going to listen to classical music so much, but it's a great power and it's not to be underestimated, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the most powerful tools in a film. The background music, the incidental music is what we sometimes completely take it for granted. We don't hear it. I only just really experienced it properly when I went to Dubai Opera a couple of weeks ago to watch Jurassic Park with the live symphony orchestra. It was mind-blowing. It was fantastic. It made me really appreciate the background music. Not that I haven't in the past, but I think I have this new passion to want to see those types of things. Have the live screening of the film with the live orchestra playing the incidental music. It was an unreal experience.
For sure. I think anything where you can get in real live music, especially if you've listened to a full orchestra. Mm. And I think that's, again, we take a lot for granted because we listen to recorded music, but to see not just 2, 3, 4 musicians, but 50 musicians or more on a stage performing is incredible.
Yeah, the skill it took for them to match it up perfectly. Obviously, the conductors have got a very big job in that role, having to match it up to exactly what's going on the screen. It was fascinating.
I remember some years ago going to see Barbara Streisand at the O2 Arena, which was also a great sort of moment, really. Cost me a pretty penny at the time. But I figured she were, you know, she's still going strong, but, you know, to see her still in good form, you know, and she was in her early 60s then, but that was with a full orchestra too. So at the O2, amazing arena, full orchestra in the orchestra pit.
I think especially what we said about the classical music and its relationship with movies, I think it's a very good way because it makes it accessible to lots of people. Because classical is one of these genres, myself included, when I was this metal-obsessed teenager, I would have had preconceived notions what this was, kind of music for old fogies, really. But then I had thought, okay, so I had movies, I was movie-obsessed, but didn't relate the two. Then I started dating this lovely young girl from Dublin, who's now my wife, but she brought me to see this fellow called Ludovico Einaudi. And if you've never heard Ludovico Einaudi, please do. And brought me to see him live in Dublin. And I was emotionally unprepared for this experience because I think classical is something people listen to little short clips of it or in a lift. And when you're hearing it live with a full orchestra or Ludovico, just this man in a massive arena with a piano by himself, it's so stirring and it's so spectacular.
Well, let me share this with you. We've mentioned them already from our listeners. One was Angel, Massive Attack, and our listener was saying if this was a sort of walk onto my life, you know, that entrance music to life, to face fears and move ahead towards any problems, and this would be Akhil's choice. So let's share it. You know what, you've just taken me back to those Massive Attack days, actually. Amazing. Fantastic there. And also we mentioned before the track regarding from Rush, Closer to the Heart. And William, the one and only, came back to say that their drummer has been through terrible personal loss and he inspires me. So let's have a little listen to this. What I'm loving today is I'm getting to know my listeners through their music choices. It's interesting, isn't it?
And some people can surprise you when you hear like, oh, you're into that? Oh, that's surprising. When people hear I was like, and still am like into death metal, like, oh, that's jarring, but okay.
Well, put it this way. I love the fact that, and this happens as well when you meet people, and part of that exchange of getting to know someone might be your musical choices, what you're into. And there's your wife taking you when you were dating to something she loved and you being like appreciating that. So what did you take her to see from the death metal camp?
You know what? I don't think she really took the idea of mosh pits too quickly. So I think that was off-putting. I wanted to come see people because I've seen Metallica and Slayer. And that's a tough learning curve when you're jumping into the Slayer mosh pit, especially as like a little 5'4.5" lady.
Listen, lots of people with their messages. I want to share them all. It's actually quite overwhelming for me today. There's so much coming in. Amazing stories. One here from Mona saying, in the mood for a love soundtrack, then the Danish Girl soundtrack is what I'm listening to at the moment. It's really, really good. So thank you for that recommendation. And also when it comes to soundtracks for movies, I picked up on this. What would you imagine? This is from the UK's Guardian. This is coming out just a month ago this year. What would be at the number one on the all-time of the list of 50 greatest film soundtracks? What do you think might be at number one? It's a biggie. So have a think about it, process it, and I'll share a story about it. But there's lots in this list, as you can imagine. Star Wars is in there at number three, John Williams with the soundtrack to Star Wars. You've got The Adventures of Robin Hood coming in, Eric Wolfgang, Korngold, A Clockwork Orange, Wendy Carlos, the 1971 film. So there's a lot in, there's a Fistful of Dollars there, Ennio Morricone, which is an amazing soundtrack. And actually that makes me think of when I did my dance exams when I was about 16, 17. I used the soundtrack actually to a dance piece from There You Go. Yeah,
I'm instantly wondering what that dance looked
I know,
like.
It was contemporary.
You shot someone at the end of it.
It was a very contemporary piece. Oh dear. So lots coming in, and we're going to also be talking more about music and therapy with my guest today. People are asking for your details as well. So Adam, you are head of occupational therapy at Autism Rock Support Centre. Give us an overview of what you do for people asking.
Yeah, so like the name suggests, we're a support centre for families and young people on the autism spectrum. We try and be as accessible as possible because we know a lot of families, it's really scary to reach out and get a little bit of support, but you can pick up the telephone or find us. We can speak to myself or any of the staff members at any time. It costs nothing. And if you want to come in to speak to us, then we'll be really candid. We want to be, because it's owned and operated by two parents of a young boy in the autism spectrum, and they know how difficult it can be and how stressful it is for parents. So we want to be there for the community and for the families and for the young people most of all.
And Anissa is here, Anissa Barmal, who is a music therapist at Regent International School. And Anissa, your next choice, a piece of music that means something to you. Which one do you want to go with next?
I think I will go with Songbird by Fleetwood Mac.
Why that choice?
I think it's slightly self-indulgent. I always love to sing that song myself and play it on the piano, but I think it's just one of those beautiful pieces of music that tells a story about love in its most purest form, sacrificing for another, being perfectly in love with someone so much so that you wouldn't want any harm to come to them, so much so that you'd give up anything for them and you'd be there for them. And despite all the rough times and all the difficulties you would face when you're in love, you still are going to be there for them at the end. It's quite cheesy, but that was one of my choices.
Hey, come on, it's romance, it's love, it's music, why not? And something completely different, Alan's saying, I've just heard Rush on Dubai Eye. That's the first time ever. Rush playing on Dubai Eye. And then he says, Rush forever. So there you go. It's all here on Kaleidoscope. And when we come back, we'll be bringing you the Sunday quiz, more from Adam and Anissa looking at music therapy, and more to share and celebrate about music. We're going to be sharing some lyrics from songs, see how you are with those, test your knowledge. We'll also be looking at how music's affected us politically, how it's used in political songs. Also, consumerism as well, how we're influenced without even knowing it when it comes to the things that we buy. Stay with me.
It's the Sunday Quiz, only on Dubai Today, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
And it's an amazing prize to play for today. I've got Therese and Aruma on the line. Hello to you two.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello there. Hi, ladies. Now, listen, the prize, just let me get this out of the way, because it's not one but two prizes for the lucky winner today. Now, the theme of our quiz is music makes the world go around. The prize is this wonderful box of coffee from Boone Coffee. Boone Coffee, based in the UAE, regulars on the Thursday brunch, actually, with me. And so if you are into your coffee, fresh and simple, it brings you the finest coffee from Ethiopia, straight from the farmers to us here in the UAE. And this beautiful box, you'll get your speciality grade coffee there. It could be Kaffa, it could be Guji, it could be Cochair, but you're getting two blends of coffee from Boone Coffee with the French press. Not only that, there's also an express business lunch, three course lunch no less, for two people as well. So all to play for, ladies. Let's start first with Therese. You sent in your musical choice today. Just remind me what you sent in.
I sent in Ode to Joy.
Ah, oh, yes, the Beethoven piece.
Yeah.
Was it? Yes.
Do you know, very well known one.
I wonder, does Beethoven mind the fact Anise thinks the best version of that was from Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit?
I did not say that. I didn't say it was the best version. I said it's up there.
It's the seminal version.
And Aruma, you text in a lot this morning, as you often do. Lovely to have you with us today for the quiz. But you were saying, growing up listening to radio in the UAE, memories of your dad, and you sent in the Norah Jones piece.
Yes, I did. Come Away With Me.
So how did you describe it? Calm Me Down music.
Yeah, it was the Calm Me Down and Let's Dream a While, Daydream a While music.
Fabulous. Lovely. Well, listen, Therese and Aruma, it's great to have you with us today to play the Sunday quiz. I think we'll get Adam and Anissa on as well. You're going to play for fun, you two.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's going to be very embarrassing.
Lovely. And now, just to remind you of the rules. The rules are very simple. I'm going to ask you each three questions along the theme of music makes the world go around. And the person with the most points at the end is the winner. Now, if you both get the same amount right and we go to a tiebreaker, I've got a deciding tiebreaker question for you to make the decision at the end. So, okay, Therese and Aruma, are you ready to play the Sunday
quiz? I'm ready.
Excellent. You've got 5 seconds each. I'm going to start with you, Therese. You're going first. So here is your first question. In 1989, the Berlin Wall was broken down by the people of East Germany. Which 80s and 90s American TV star with a talking car and a team of life-saving swimmers was the first to sing live on the wall after its fall? Need an answer?
David Hasselhoff?
Oh! What do you say, Adam?
Oh, yeah, The Half.
The One Half, yeah. Okay, you are absolutely right, Therese. Okay, Aruma, here is your first question.
Yep.
Despite being almost 50 years since they disbanded, which UK band still hold the record for most number of albums sold?
Would it be the Beatles? No, I don't think.
What are you going with? The Beatles? Okay. What do you say, Anissa?
I would have said the Beatles, but I'm
would
not
you?
Sure. Yes.
Beatles. Really? Mm. Oh, what do you reckon?
I would have said the Beatles as well, yeah.
Oh. Absolutely right. Oh, it is the Beatles. Oh. Yeah.
Stop playing with our emotions.
Therese, here is your second question. In 1930s, the Catholic Church became increasingly anxious about the influence of a new type of music coming from the USA, leading to a march of a few thousand people on New Year's Day 1934, and calls from local priests to ban this type of music. What genre of music was the culprit?
I think it's the Hip-hop?
I don't know. Could be hip-hop. What do you say?
So some very early pioneering hip-hop artists. I would say it was possibly at that time jazz.
What do you say, Nisa?
Yeah, jazz. I was thinking something along the lines of metal, but again, it could have been way out of
metal?
Time.
Metal? Yeah. In 1934?
Clearly, I didn't listen to that question well enough. But
well,
yeah.
I can tell you that, Charisse, you are...
Oh.
And Adam, you were... Yeah, jazz music. Yeah, jazz was that music that was causing such a stir back in the 1930s. Okay, Aruma, here is your second question. In 1956, Elvis Presley debuted on US television, causing outrage over his dancing hips. Elvis was nicknamed Elvis the Pelvis. But what solution was offered for TV executives to prevent future scandal during live performances?
What was
the
solution?
Yeah, what was the solution for TV executives, Elvis Presley's dancing hips?
Maybe the TV would be, I don't know, it's for the concert, is it?
This is on TV, I need an answer. What would they do on TV?
They would have shown only the top part of his body.
Yeah. Ooh, you're nodding too. Yeah. You two over there. Yeah.
Oh!
Well done.
Okay.
We were quite kind there giving you, but I will make sure that...
Yes.
No, that's all right. So, yeah, to only film Elvis above the waist was the solution. So, Teresa, here you go. ABBA was known as a Swedish supergroup with over 11 million albums sold, but Anna Fried was not Swedish. She had a German father. But where was her mother from? So, another country, where was her mother from?
I think from Germany.
Where do you say, Adam?
I haven't the foggiest idea.
No, I would have to hazard a guess. And
Denmark.
Austria.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid you are incorrect.
Oh.
Norway. Oh. She was from Norway. Okay, Aruma, here is your third and final question. Queen are considered by many to be a quintessentially British rock band. But where was the lead singer Freddie Mercury born?
India.
Okay, you're saying India. Adam's got his head in his hands. The pressure on there. Yeah. Where do you say, Anissa?
Can I change?
No, you
can
can't.
Change?
No, okay. Sorry. Okay. No.
Sure.
So where do you think, Adam?
I think it was somewhere in Africa, but I can't remember where it was. It's not South Africa, but it's nearby.
Well, first off, Arum, I'm afraid you were...
Yeah.
And it's
Swaziland? No?
Tanzania.
My father is from Tanzania. He'd be so ashamed of me right now for not knowing that.
Well, we love to, you've learned something new every day. There you go. So, scores on the doors. Let's ask Judge Alicia today. Scores?
Charisse has one and Aruma has two.
So congratulations to Aruma and commiserations to Charisse. Charisse, thank you so much for taking part.
Thank you as well.
Thank you so much. And go and listen to some more beautiful Beethoven to recover from the Sunday quiz. And Aruma, well done. Lucky you.
Thank
well
you.
Done. You're getting the beautiful prize from Boone Coffee, that wonderful Ethiopian coffee. And I don't know if you're still there, Aruma, but you're also getting an express business lunch, the three-course lunch for two people as well. So Aruma, Charisse, thank you very much for playing the Sunday quiz. There you go. And a big thank you as well to Adam and Lisa there for playing the Sunday quiz. Are you all right?
I'm slightly traumatised by my answer that I didn't listen to the 1930s was the key thing about that question.
Lots of messages coming in on this. We'll share more as the show progresses. I was asking you there for what do you think comes in at number one of the greatest film soundtracks of all time. This is according to the Guardian newspaper. Any ideas, Adam?
I think, is it like a famous song that was accompanied in a movie or like a orchestral thing, like a John Williams Star Wars type soundtrack?
Well, it's the film, really. It's the film with a great soundtrack that is deemed to be the most popular, the greatest soundtrack it's being described
as. I'm not sure. For me, it would be Last of the Mohicans.
That is a great soundtrack. Yeah. Anissa, any ideas?
See, now we were discussing this earlier and we were thinking big song. So I was, in my mindset, was looking along the lines of something like Titanic with the big powerful ballad from Celine Dion, but also actually the incidental music in that was very powerful in that iconic scene of not letting go. Along the lines of a big, powerful piece of music that was in the charts. But then you look at the soundtrack and the score of music and you think something like Indiana Jones, something that really is quite gripping and is in a fantastic film itself. So, yeah, I'm torn. And then we were also actually discussing musicals that, you know, musicals naturally have a soundtrack to them. They have music throughout the film. So the film and the musical on stage. So you've got things like West Side Story. And
That comes in at 24, West Side Story. Okay. Mm-hmm. And The Godfather comes in at 23, according to this this list. Well, what do you think? 4001, what do you think makes number one on the best film soundtrack? Rowan's saying Blood Diamond for me had the best soundtrack. That is also a great soundtrack as well. The English Patient is an amazing soundtrack. So what do you think makes number one? Let me know on 4001 or via the Messenger app. Now, we're talking about the power of music, and it's also deemed to be used politically. Music has been used. We know that throughout the ages, we've had tribal music, people that connects us, people that makes us feel that we're one, and that can be cultural, it could be religious. But when it comes to the influence over us, when we don't maybe even know it, it can be used as, you know, political songs throughout the generations. Songs that changed the world. So over the decades, music has consistently had a significant cultural and political impact on real world events. Let's take a look at some of those real world events, if you like, through history. Let me play this to you. Amazing track there. Change is Gonna Come, 1965, Sam Cooke. He wrote this protest song to support the civil rights movement in the United States. When Cooke heard Bob Dylan's Blowing in the Wind, he became determined to write something similar, and some of the lyrics were inspired by an incident where Cooke and his friends were arrested for disturbing the peace after they were denied room at a motel in Louisiana. The lyrics, I go to the movie and I go downtown and somebody keep telling me don't hang around, speak boldly about segregation. The song was released as a single a few months after Cooke died. Now, there was a lot of controversy over his death. He was shot by a motel owner who claimed he was raping a young girl in one of the rooms. An amazing soundtrack, amazing piece of music, and it is of a time and a place, but of course could be used maybe in some situations across the world today.
It's been a long time coming, but I know
powerful, isn't it?
Really, really is. I think something like, it's like a clarion call to people at that time. I think especially in that time in the mid-60s, there was so much of that. One of my favorite Bob Dylan songs, Times They're A-Changin', was then as well, just after JFK was assassinated, just before the Civil Rights Act. It's just, it kind of represents that time, but then in a way it's timeless as well.
Yes, and maybe it should be, you know, in the sense, I mean, it's sad that we still need to listen to something like that about circumstances, about segregation, about injustice in the world. But the power of a song that can carry generations, there's a lot to be said for that as well.
Yeah, even like, if you see now, even political campaigns, they'll have soundtracks that accompany them. Remember really years ago when, like my formative years, when Tony Blair had Things Can Only Get Better, and it was so associated with this thing. I don't know how the guys that wrote the song thought of it afterwards, but they do, it unites people one way or the other.
Oh yeah, I tell you something, I think you'll understand when I say
Now, they're in our Sunday quiz today. The Beatles, I mean, all-time popular band, incredible. And I want to hold your hand. 1963, so talk about a song that transcends time. Kick-started the glorious music revolution of the 1960s. It allowed the Beatles to gain popularity on the other side of the Atlantic, transforming the band from complete unknowns in the US into the biggest sensation that rock and roll had ever seen up until that point. Beatlemania remained a purely British phenomenon. The joyous track blasted over the airways at a point when America was still reeling from November 1963 and the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The band went on to appear on the Ed Sullivan Show, drawing 70 million viewers in February 1964, the most in the history of TV at that time.
I think you'll understand when I say that something.
I think it's hard to listen to that now to imagine at one point that was so outrageously like shocking to the system and had like Beatlemania. And then I'm told like that's not a new phenomenon, nor has it gone away. I am told from my clinical staff as well that it has a lot of the same clinical symptoms as Bieber fever, which was really ongoing last night. Yeah. So this idea of like such fandom and such just unleashed joy that every generation finds this little link to. I think it's that's something that happens again and again.
Yeah, you were saying earlier, and you said that you were really into sort of boy bands when you were growing up, and you know, Take That and Huge, you know. But again, I guess what you're seeing there is stirring up the masses.
Absolutely.
And there is power to that, good or bad.
Yeah, I mean, you'll still see it today, like we were saying with the Bieber fever. It's something that's always going to be with us generation after generation. Every generation will find something that they are going to feel fanatic about. And that passion will always be there.
Did you have your own Bieber fever? What was your Bieber fever band when you were a kid?
Oh, gosh. I think it may have been the Backstreet Boys.
Of course it was.
Gosh. But you were at the gig last night at Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Yeah, you have a good time?
It was a great time, yeah. It was a good vibe in the audience and the crowd, and everyone was having a great time. So many different ages and different people that were there definitely brought everyone together.
Well, here's a song. If you're looking, it's a different mood, but certainly bringing people together. Widely regarded as John Lennon's signature song, Imagine was the title track of his second album and is perhaps his best well-known solo work. John Lennon famously said that the track is anti-religious, anti-nationalistic, anti-conventional, anti-capitalistic, but because it's sugar-coated, it is accepted. The track conveyed Lennon's wish for world peace and harmony, while the song's message resonated widely and was given an added poignancy after Lennon's assassination in 1980. Its message has since been derided by many who point out the contradiction of a multimillionaire asking the rest of the world to imagine no possessions. Yeah, but he can write lyrics like that. Imagine a dreamer and you're not the only one. A fabulous song, amazing song. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, that's remarkable. It's one of those ones, it's what I love about a lot of songs, like Imagine's a perfect example. It's so simple. There's nothing contrived or elaborate about it, but it's saying something so beautiful. And if you listen, if you just read those lyrics written down, they're so jarring. He's really mixing it up there big time.
Mm.
You can imagine if anyone said that in like today's social media age, he would be a pariah on Facebook in 10 seconds flat, but it's such beautifully expressed. That's the power of what music can do.
You may say I'm a dreamer.
Coming in at number one is this song from the musical, and it's making the number one list for the UK's Guardian newspaper. Yeah, The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, composer Herbert Stothart, songs by Harold Arlen, E.Y. Harburg. The 1939 film The Wizard of Oz, the all-time greatest film soundtrack. Now, here's a little bit of knowledge for you. Legend has it that the studio executives wanted to cut Judy Garland's Over the Rainbow because it dragged out the downbeat Kansas opening. Certainly a reprise of the song was trimmed from the final cut, but Rainbow survived to become one of the most memorable anthems of the century. Covered by everyone from Gene Vincent to Kylie Minogue, it was number one in the Recording Industry Association of America's Songs of the Century. Other recognizable hits from the movie include Follow the Yellow Brick Road, Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, and We're Off to See the Wizard, all of which have since passed into popular parlance, ensuring that everyone, not just Elton John, can call themselves a true friend of Dorothy. Where the clouds are far behind me. Yeah, there you go. I mean, early soundtrack fans had to make do with Judy Garland's 78 RPM disc and a Creaky Decca LP. But there you are. I mean, it is, and not only the film and the soundtrack, but that particular song, of course, is an amazing song. It has transcended time.
I think it's funny how songs can sneak up on you sometimes. There's a version of that by Iz, the large Hawaiian fellow who did that with What a Wonderful World. I've got to be careful when I hear that, because I'll get a catch in my throat when I hear that song. Yeah. I play it now. I used to play bass in a band. Now I play my daughter's tiny Dora the Explorer ukulele, but I'll still get choked up playing that.
Amazing piece of music. All the better with Judy's little quiver there in the voice, little adding the emotion to it. Yeah, there you go. So the power of music and the power of what you do. And you've got some notes and some things you wanted to share with the listeners today. So Anissa.
Yeah, so we're going to start by tying into the idea of music in aiding of pain relief, actually. So we were looking at an article with chronic spinal pain and how that can link in to using music therapy for that. But in a personal experience for me, where I've come from working at end of life in the UK, in palliative care for infants and young children with various diseases like leukemia.
So terminally ill.
Terminally ill children. It was also quite a helpful tool to be able to soothe any of those children and infants going through quite intense therapy. So the chemotherapy, radiation therapy, that type of thing. And I was called in to work with a young boy who was 18 months old, who every week had a very excruciating experience of having his treatment for his leukemia. And to go in and be able to experience that with him was unbelievably emotional, because it would be grueling for him. You could feel his pain in his voice. So as I was called in to come in to soothe him with music, it was more of an interactional thing. As music therapy is very improvisational, I would just be there to play, soothe any of his emotions, soothe any of his experiences that he was going through. And gradually, as time went along, he would hum along, just using his voice, just trying to soothe himself. So the music acted as a tool to help him to manage those feelings, to manage those experiences. I mean, it almost sounds a bit made up in a way, because you just think music can't be that powerful. But in that experience, for someone so young who can't tell us the pain that they're going through, who can't say that hurts, to use music to experience that for him was something that was really powerful.
And it's like using it also as a sort of meditative, and we've all had that, but you know, in that situation, to really help someone ease real tangible pain, physical pain,
absolutely,
and a circumstance which for you as a therapist must be very difficult to deal with.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why we go through such extensive training as a therapist, and it's because we have to deal with whatever our clients and patients are projecting onto us. So when I was training to become a therapist, it was a two-year full-on master's, and in that time I had to undergo therapy of myself to be able to project my things that may have they've been coming up in those sessions onto somebody else. And obviously with my issues with my brother, obviously lots of stuff came up for me, and having to being able to share that and being able to offload to somebody else is very important. So being in that situation where music is so powerful for myself as well, it was a real relational thing. Mm. And the counter transference, which is where you experience their experiences, was coming out of me as well. So
when you go to the piano and play?
It was, I'd have a guitar with me. So I've got very basic guitar skills, but it was far more easy to transport a guitar than piano. So it would be a case of going and playing something in that session. Mm. But the therapy outside of it would be speaking to a psychoanalyst. Mm. Who.
But for you, I mean, for you, when you go home at the end of the day, for you to deal and process.
Absolutely, yeah. So it would be going to the piano and feeling an absolute escape from it all. But actually to even sing or to listen to music, I would use music in my own personal way as well.
Well, I'm going to share this piece from the film Philadelphia, which kind of echoes what you're talking about here. So the 1993 film Philadelphia, starring Tom Hanks, he won an Oscar for his portrayal. I'm going to share this part for you with Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. Now, if you're not familiar with the plot, this is a story about a man with HIV, and at this point actually he's dying from AIDS, and he's listening to this piece of music, and it's how he's finding some kind of peace, solace, connection, feeling, if you will, as a human being through classical music.
Do you mind this music? Do you like opera?
I am not that familiar with opera, Andrew.
Oh, this is my favorite aria. It's Maria Callas. Andrea Chenier, Umberto Giordano. This is Maddalena. She's saying how during the French Revolution, a mob set fire to her house. And her mother died, saving her. She's like, the place that cradled me is burning. I am alone.
Do you hear the heartache in her voice? Can you feel it, Joe?
Now in come the strings, and it changes everything. Like the music, it fills with a hope. And that'll change again, listen. Listen. I bring sorrow to those who love me.
Single cello.
During this sorrow that love came to me. A voice filled with harmony. It said, live still. I am life.
Respiro.
of the most powerful scenes in a movie, from the movie Philadelphia. La Mamma Morta by Maria Callas is the music we're listening to there. And Tom Hanks' character, just what he's going through, the emotion from that. But any of us can take something as human beings, I think. And when he says, I am life, I am still, I am love. And that's the power of music to me.
Yeah, it's very hard to imagine. You might have the best rhetorician in the world. It's hard to imagine how words alone could express emotions like that. And even someone like Denzel Washington said in that scene, who's no experience with opera, it's just nearly primal. It's amazing how that switches onto you. And it's just, you have to ride that wave of emotion. It's just almost overwhelming.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people would not really listen to that type of music, but once it's there, it's captivating. People would immediately connect with it, just on a level, like you say, primal level. It doesn't have to be that you understand exactly what they're singing about. It's something that you feel rather than completely understand.
And you said it's primal, and I think that that's where you get the sense of the power of music, the rhythm, the beat, the pacing, and in this particular instance, of course, describing some of the instruments, the strings coming in, the cello coming in, but whatever the music may be, we've listened to a lot of music today, you'll always hear something in that rhythm that gets you connected to the music.
Absolutely, and we can call that entrainment. Entrainment is something that we experience. It's something where the available rhythm enters our body and it goes into our auditory nerve and into your central nervous system, and immediately it gets your brain processing the fact that you're going to tap your feet to it or tap your fingers, and it just means that your body is immediately connected to that rhythm and to that beat, whether it's an emotional thing or whether it's a physical thing.
And it's really interesting to me how it crosses cultural boundaries as well, that there are, even though you have world music and you hear such different melodies and different combinations of notes specific to culture, but there is universality to it as well. You can have people who have no shared language, they don't understand one word one another will say, they can still put something down, and when they get jamming together.
Absolutely, that's why we can say musical is universal. It's just something that we can share globally.
More to come, stay with me. We were listening there from the film Philadelphia with Tom Hanks and that amazing aria by Maria Callas.
Yeah, when you consider that scene, Tom Hanks is, he's a man who's, he's essentially dying, and this is giving him such joy. This one thing could never be taken away from him. No matter what the situation, even if it's a teenager I'm working with who's emotionally distressed, if it's someone experiencing physical pain, the music is always there. It's something that's always available to you. For example, if you think about in the southern plantations in 19th century America, before emancipation, we had a whole community of African Americans who were in servitude, whose life was unimaginably hard, but that's where the origins of gospel and blues and jazz and then rock and roll and then rap all came from that thing, because they couldn't stop these people singing in the fields and singing about what they really believed in and gave them joy.
Somebody's here is texting and saying in the Netherlands there are two cellists that play for children in hospitals, especially for children in pain. It's a real help to those children.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just a help for those children, but it's a help for the family surrounding the child to experience their child in that small amount of time, just to not be experiencing as much pain as they have been in the past.
We can use it to de-stress. We can all use this, you know. And for people that think, I'm not really bothered about music, I don't really listen to music, it's not a competition. You don't have to know the latest thing that's out there, but it could help a little bit in giving you a moment in the day to just stop, slow down. And like that piece of music that was edited, but it was still quite long, and we're so about sound bites today, but actually allow yourself to really immerse yourself in music. It's quite meditative.
Yeah, just to be open to it. I think that's it. It's why, and we were joking before, it's why I could never be a hipster, because I don't think there is any wrong music. I am not the biggest Justin Bieber fan in the world, but I appreciate that other people are. So you just be open to it, and you'll find something that connects with you. May not even be able to explain why it does, but just be, get yourself out there.
This is your next piece of music that you chose, Adam, that means something special to you.
On Raglan Road, of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue.
So this is Luke Kelly and Raglan Road.
My goodness, it's hard to imagine a more soulful thing to me. This is really stirring for me, this one, because if you don't know what Luke Kelly looks like, you should really YouTube him, because he is a bonkers looking, couldn't be more Irish fellow, but sings with such passion and such soul. This was actually a poem by an Irish poet called Patrick Kavanagh. It's a very simple love song that's very quintessentially Irish, very quintessentially Dublin, and I've got such a love affair with this song. I cannot stop smiling. I don't know if you can hear smiles in the microphone. You're hearing one now.
In November we trip lightly.
And then for you, Anissa, what's your third and final track today?
So my last one is Numb by Limp Bizkit.
And why is this so poignant for you?
I think it's got a very important message in it about how to just be yourself. I think we all live in a society where it's very relatable, even to this day, that in social media we're following things and we're carrying on with things and we're copying things. And I think it's very important that this message gives you the message to be yourself.
It's a great track, and as one person just texted in here, Daryl saying, and the way music connects is by having a great pair of headphones. So those noise cancelling ones from a brand I won't mention are the perfect way to disappear in a crowd. And that song would be amazing for that. Imagine on a plane or wherever you might be, where you can just lose yourself in that music.
Absolutely. I think I'd probably lose myself in the music at the gym in that song. Get me going.
And there's another Luke Kelly fan, apparently, Adam.
Lovely, lovely. You know what? I'm saying that
Rob's
in the plane.
Just texted in to say, Roving Grumpy Old Man says, Luke Kelly, great memories.
Yeah, yeah. I actually set up that song. So when I'm arriving, especially if I'm flying back to Ireland by myself, when I'm walking through Dublin Airport, that's always going to play. It's like my soundtrack for landing back in Ireland.
And you're absolutely right, Omar. Actually, it's not Limp Bizkit, is it? It's Linkin Park.
Oh, gosh, what did I say?
Yeah, I got it down as Linkin Park.
You're right. I don't know why I wrote Limp Bizkit as well.
Oh, Omar's not happy about that.
Oh, no.
Get it right. So it's been amazing. And so many messages today. And I think, you know, connecting all of us, I hope. And I've learned and heard some new music. I've been taken back to some great memories, being connected via some old music. And I think at the end of the day, getting to know each other through our music, which I've certainly done through my listeners. Thank you. You know, we had Rush, for goodness sake, on Dubai Eye. That's impressed, at least Alan, anyway. But let's find out what you're up to next. You're busy people. What's going on with you, Adam, with work at Autism Rock Support Centre?
Yeah, we've literally just opened for business. So I'm seeing my first patients were in last week, and it's really, really exciting for me. Anytime I'm not seeing the boys and girls I work with, and it's my kind of calling to serve, I get really frustrated. So now we're back, we're getting new patients in all the time, helping these families who come in such a state of distress, and give them some solace that we're here as active collaborators to make their life, the child's life and the teacher's life, and just a little bit less stressful, a little bit easier.
And for you at the Regent International School?
Yes, I mean, my main role there is a music teacher, but I see two autistic children on a one-to-one basis, where we're working quite solidly to encourage their social interaction, social communication and managing emotions. And, you know, in autism, there's a lot of repetitive behaviours which we're trying to challenge, trying to increase their wider perspective of different behaviours and different habits. So I work with them on a weekly basis, and I will be continuing to do that for the rest of this term.
And I'm so lucky I get to go to schools and work with people like yourself, because you really do need this community of individuals around to support the kids we work with. So we have OT, speech, ABA and all in-house, but then we go out into the community and work, build supports where they are, because this is where the child lives, this is where their life takes place.
It's so true. And I think that what you're bringing to the table and opening up for people are the options that are available. And so there really is, but you need to be able to reach out, and the community is here. And I think also the power of music today, in realizing that on a personal level, on a social level, but actually on a therapeutic level, there's real power to sharing the music more.
Absolutely. And I think it just needs to be a bit more wider noted, really. I think it's one of those things that's still growing. Music therapy is not a very well-known therapy, and I think we need to get it out there.
We are out of time. There's so many requests for your pieces of music that mean something to you. I don't know which one to choose. I'm going to randomly pluck from my randomizer to end the show today. It's been all about the music, and it's been an absolute pleasure talking to Adam Griffin, Head of Occupational Therapy at Autism Rocks Support Center. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much.
And a big thank you to Anissa Barmal. First time on the show. You've done a great job. It's really been interesting hearing about your experiences and your knowledge. Music therapist at Regent International School. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And a big thank you to everyone for sharing your music and the meaning for you with us today. And I'll end on this. Rec Room for a Dream. Have yourselves a great day.